Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Our gospel text for today begins with these words: Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father is merciful. Now, the verse that immediately precedes that verse says this. It says, love ye your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. So the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, when He speaks of His Heavenly Father, He speaks of the Heavenly Father as one who is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Now, how do we know that? Well, don't evil people get to eat their food every day just like us? Don't evil people have homes to live in? Don't they have clothing to wear and possessions to enjoy? All of this is the divine providence of God. He governs all things. He doesn't only govern the spirit of Christians, but He governs all the world, all things. And He is kind, even to the unthankful and to the evil. Why is He kind to them? Because He desires that His goodness will lead them to repentance. This is why the Lord Jesus, when He came into the world, He made Himself available to all people. And He spoke the truth. He didn't water it down. He didn't make it conform to the attitudes of the age. He spoke the plain and true word of God to all people, and He desired even the hypocrites, even the Pharisees, and the work righteous mongers to come to repentance and to come to faith in Christ. Sometimes the Lord Jesus dealt relatively roughly with people who were interested. For example, we have the rich young man who comes to Jesus and, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus recites the commandment and says, do these things and you'll live. And the young man says, with a little bit of impatience, I've been doing that all of my life. What do I yet lack? And Jesus, who sees right into the center of his heart and knows that this young man is afflicted with the sin of covetousness and greed, he says to him, sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. And the Bible tells us that that young man went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, Jesus wasn't done with that guy. You see, we look at it from our modern perspective. We have all kinds of professionals to help us get our message out there so that it's very compelling. And sometimes when we read about the Lord Jesus, he looks like he's relatively unconcerned with making a good impression. But remember, the Lord is not done with that man. That man's got to marinate a little while under the law of God until he sees his sin. And then the gospel promises of Jesus will strike him as ever more sweet. All right, so as we start out with our sermon this morning, God is presented to us as two things, our Heavenly Father and as one who is kind and merciful even to the unthankful and to the evil. And Jesus says to those who believe in him, to his disciples, he says, you be like your Heavenly Father. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. Why does he say that? Well, because many of these people, just like in our age, are brought up to think that being religious means that you've got to condemn lots of stuff. And you've got to show your disapproval of lots of stuff so that you can look good when you compare yourself to other people. You see, this is one of the casualties of works righteousness. You've got to convince yourself all the time that you really are righteous. Because, you know yourself better than most other people know you. And you know how unrighteous you are sometimes. And so in order to make yourself look good, very often what you've got to do is you've got to make other people look bad. And so Jesus says, be merciful as your Heavenly Father is merciful. And he says, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. All right, now, let's unpack this, because as far as the world is concerned, the only thing that Jesus ever said on the whole earth was, judge not. All right? This is what all the unbelievers in the world harp on. They say, oh, the Bible says, don't be judgmental. Don't be judgmental. The worst thing you can do in the modern world is to have a strong opinion that doesn't agree with the weakness of the modern world. Right? All of the so-called courage and bravery of the modern, liberal, progressive world is really nothing more than weakness disguised as virtue. And there are many Christians who distort Christianity in order to encourage weakness. And so they say, you see, when we look out at the world, we see people doing what they should not be doing. We've got to keep our mouths shut because Jesus said, judge not and you will not be judged. Condemn not and you will not be condemned. Let me tell you straight. Jesus here is not forbidding us judgment. he's forbidding a certain type of judgment. He is forbidding the judgment that is constantly practiced by the Pharisees and the scribes and by modern works mongers, people who need to make themselves look good by making other people look bad. Perfect example of this in today's age is the modern progressive social justice warrior. All right? How can these mangy people make themselves look good? Only by trying to make everybody who doesn't agree with them look bad. You see? They are the new Pharisees. They are the new scribes. They are the new criers. Crucify him! Crucify him! And they think they are so holy while they curse and damn everyone who disagrees with them. It's called censoriousness. It is the attitude that says, stand apart from me and do not approach, for I am holier than thou. You see? That is what Jesus is condemning. He's condemning that kind of judgment and condemning spirit that grows from unbelief in the gospel. It's practiced by those who have forgotten that it's all about grace and forgiveness. You know, today the world, the church, must make judgments about what's going on in the world. We have an epidemic of immorality, of kind types of immorality that just 30 years ago, if you were to say, hello, I'm from the future, and I've come back in my time machine to tell you that in the year 2018, these things will be commonly practiced and accepted by our society, and then you begin ticking them off one after the other. And those people would say, you, sir, are crazy. Go back to the future and take a chill pill. All right? People would think you're nuts if you went back even 20, 30 years ago and said, you know what will be commonly believed and practiced and understood in the year 2018? And people would say, you've got to be out of your mind. Shut up and go away. All right. We must make judgments. God gave us the commandments. We are to judge ourselves. We are to judge the difference between right and wrong, good and evil, true and false. The Bible is filled with commands to make judgments and decisions because of these things. What we are not to do is have a snooty, self-righteous attitude toward other people because it makes us look good by comparison. And that's what the Lord Jesus means here when he says, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. He's saying, remember that God the Merciful has received you for Christ's sake. What's so good about you? Nothing. But he, in his mercy, in his grace, has saved you. Not by works of righteousness which I had done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us, the Bible says. And St. Paul speaks about himself being the chiefest of sinners. but being shown mercy so that his life would be an example of the power of God's grace for other sinners. And so, we are to remember that we are saved by grace, shown the mercy of God, and we are therefore to be gracious and forgiving. You know, one of the reasons why the church must preach the law of God, we must say it is wicked and sinful to steal. It is wicked and sinful to commit adultery. It is wicked and sinful to bear false witness and to covet. The church must say these things, but for the sake of the salvation of the sinner. No one will ever come to repentance if they are not first convinced that they are a sinner. And so you preach the law and you tell people what their true condition is before God so that they will become alarmed and be sorrowful about their sins. Then when you tell them about Jesus, they hear it as what it is. Good news of great joy for all people. He goes on and he says, "Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosoms. For at the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." So, judge not, condemn not, forgive, and be generous. Be generous. These are what the children of the Heavenly Father are called to be and to do in their life in this world. Then he changes gears a little bit, and he says this. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? Now, setting aside the fact that that's not a politically correct thing to say in the modern age, you know, who cares? Right? There's a lot of things, there's a lot of good things that the modern age cannot bear to hear. All right? It's called political correctness, and it is a disease. It is a spiritual disease that has taken over our nation. But what does he mean? Someone who has not been converted, someone who does not understand, cannot be of any spiritual help to another unconverted person. If the blind leads the blind, they will both fall into the ditch. Why is that? He explains it in the next verse. He says, "The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master." What's Jesus saying? He's saying, be careful about whom you become a disciple of. Because if you become a disciple of a blind master, of an unconverted master, all that unconverted master will ever be able to teach you is how to be an unconverted blind disciple. Right? A disciple doesn't surpass his master. A fully trained disciple becomes just like his master. And so we've got to be very careful. Who is our master? Who are we disciples of? If we are disciples of the Pharisees and the scribes, who are blind and dead in their sins, then we will never attain to anything more than being blind and dead in our sin. But if our Master is the Lord Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior and Redeemer of sinners, and He gives us His light, then we too shall be filled with light, and we will be in a position to be a blessing to others. And that's where he goes on in the last part of our sermon here. He says, and why are you so interested in the little speck that is in your brother's eye when you yourself have a log in your own eye? And how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me pull the speck out of your eye," when you don't even notice the log that is in your own eye? He says, "You hypocrite, you play actor. First, cast out the log that's in your own eye, and then you will see clearly to pull out the speck that is in your brother's eye." Is it good to pull the speck out of your brother's eye? Yes, but you can only do it when you have taken the log out of your own eye. And this is done through the forgiveness of sins. This is done by the grace and mercy of God. This is done by turning away from self-righteousness and judgmentalism in the true bad sense, and by learning the mercy of God, who sent His only begotten Son to redeem and save you from your sins. And in that faith, you recognize and confess your sins and are forgiven, and then you are in a position to be a blessing to your neighbor. Right? And so today, what would be the one word, I guess, that you would put over this? Discipleship. Right? Discipleship. That is, you are a child of the Heavenly Father. He has been merciful to you, just like He's merciful to all people, even the wicked. Therefore, be like your Heavenly Father, just like Jesus is like His Heavenly Father. Be like your Heavenly Father. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't follow false masters. Follow the true Master and believe in Him. Be saved, be forgiven, be cleansed, and then be a blessing to your brother and sister. Amen.